There's the Negroes, the Bantu as we call them in Africa, in South Africa, is primitive on a very primitive level. And the barrier in South Africa isn't so much color as civilization and economically.
Excuse me, on that point, we get into a very, very tense ground recently. You talked about this question of it not being a racial struggle, but a struggle of civilization. Well, personally, you see, I sympathize with your situation, because I couldn't live in a country. Your economic position and perhaps your future well-being as a nation might be in danger if you allow the strong-hearted, driving Africans to take over the government. That is, of course, what will happen if they're given the vote. Nonetheless, let us come now to that basic issue of racial segregation. I hear this honorable gentleman is from Ethiopia. I think it's far time, it's high time, Ethiopians come to the site where exactly they are. I usually wonder, are you Negroes? You are not Negroes. You say you are not Negroes. Are you white? You're not white. What are you?
Well, I told you the answer. We are not Negroes. We are one of the lost tribes of Israel. It's just because our faces are burned we look like Negroes.
I've got the point, you are lost. I think that makes a conclusive answer.
I'm wondering if Susan and Mestrin have something very much in common. Neither one of you admit you're Africans, and yet both of you live in Africa and have for generations and generations.
Well, I won't say that we're naturally, because we're a different ethnical group, we're not Africans in the sense that the Negroes and other groups have actually originated in Africa. But I consider South Africa my homeland and my fatherland, and I always will. And there is a misconception that exists. Most people think that the white settlers came to South Africa and took the land from people who were... Oh, no, it is not, and I'll prove it to you. Who came to South Africa and took it away, as the whites came here to America and took it away from the indigenous occupants. In 1652, when the first white settlers arrived at the Cape, the Bantu, as they are now known, the Negroes in South Africa, were still coming down from equatorial Africa, migrating. And it's a fact that they had not yet entered what is now known as South Africa, the borders of South Africa. The only indigenous occupants in Africa, South Africa at that time, were the Bushmen. And they were exterminated by the Bantu coming down.
Excuse me, Susan, on that point, I think you've read your history upside down.
How come?
Yes, you see, the exact thing that happened was that these Dutch men, I think they were Dutch men, they haven't got a place in their homeland.
Oh,
not
no.
Not a means of living.
Just, I can just prove...
Let me finish.
All right, and then I can prove you how wrong your historical facts are.
Oh, no, you know, your history is South African history. Mine is a bipartisan history. When these men came without any means of livelihood in their own country, with the economic background, without any meaning at all, they came to South Africa. And the real fact is that as they came and there was an influx of these Dutch people from their unwanted homes, as there was an influx, the Bantus tended to, were pushing the Bantus up into the country, till came the Zulu War, in which the Zulus were finally defeated in the most bitter and agonizing struggle they had against this African, you call them? Yes.
I don't know where you get your historical facts from.
I got my historical fact from, I think, is it Mr. Trevelyan? He's in British history.
Oh,
that's far
Mr.
better
George
than...
George Trevelyan knows nothing then, and I'll say that, because it so happens that these penniless whites, as you call them, didn't come out because they didn't have homes or because of any kind of persecution. They were sent out as officials of the Dutch East India Company to establish a refreshment station for ships passing around passing around the bottom of the Cape, just as the Dutch settlers were sent out to America by the Dutch West India Company to settle and to make a refreshment station here. Now, I think if you had to turn around to those Dutch settlers who came out and said that they came out because they were penniless, they'd be just as indignant as I am. And as you say that the white settlers came and pushed the Bantu back,
yes,
they, it's a, a fact that the white went into the interior of Africa and didn't come into contact even, never even saw a Bantu until 1795, which was practically 100 years, more than 100 years after they had arrived in South Africa.
How did you have the Zulu War? What brought it about?
The Zulus had already, by the time, the I think you must have a look at a map. Zululand is very far from the Cape where these people arrived. And in 100 years, within 100 years after the arrival of the white settlers, the Zulus had by that time, the Zulus are a part of the Bantu group, had already come down to Natal. And then you've got the two groups, the one coming from the north, the one coming from the south, and they met. And that's where you get the Zulu War.
It was not even a clash in this century, I'm thinking it. It was even the British.
It was a clash.
If the British in their benevolence, or in fact in their, because they've seen the facts that this thing is not good, they even were exercising a tempering force upon the people.
Boniface, just to make things more complicated for you and Susan, I've heard a third interpretation of this, which might settle it. That was the fact that the Bantu were a migratory people. It may be true that at some point when the whites came in, there weren't any Bantus there because they were migrating somewhere else. But look, this is all past history now. I'd like to hear something from Mesfin and Amelia on their interpretation of South African history, but almost rather, let's bring it up to the present, can't we?
Yes,
we'll bring it up.
Well, come back just a minute, Sue, to your violent prejudices against the press because they're misrepresenting what goes on in South Africa. Do you want to clarify that a bit?
Yes, I would.
Will you?
No. Well, I know one outstanding example of misrepresentation. We read in an American, I think it was a magazine, I won't give the name, although I could very easily. This journalist quoted Dr. D.F. Malan, who is an ex-prime minister of South Africa, as saying, and I quote, "The Negro does not need a home. He can sleep under a tree." Well, not only is this absolutely fictitious, but he forgot to mention the fact that brick and concrete trees, known to most people as houses, are costing thousands, millions of dollars of the white taxpayers' money annually.
What did you say? I didn't get the point. Said what houses?
Well, you see, this journalist said that Dr.
Yes,
Malan...
Yes, I got that point. You say what houses costing the government millions of dollars?
I said concrete and brick and cement houses
for
the Bantu peoples.
But these are the Bantus that are working for you in the factories. How did you get the money? They got the money, they mined the gold, got the gold, and you sold the gold outside. You got the money and you say the money is yours.
Of course
you
it can't is.
That's a contradiction,
Look,
please.
We came along. We bought the machinery. We developed the mines.
From where did you get the machinery from the mines in Johannesburg? Do you
own
the mines?
We got our machinery. We got our machinery from Great Britain.
Who
from the money that was picked, which was got with the diamonds. And
how did you get the diamonds
alluvial,
out of the ground?
No native labor there,
How did you get the diamonds out of the ground?
They weren't dug out of the ground. They were alluvial diamonds. No native labor there, my boy.
What do the natives do? You know what, Suzanne, what's one point you must get right down to the cross of the matter is that in this country, the Africans are really the backbone of your economy.
It is one of those cases
where you get this question of man's inhumanity to man. And every day you come here to complain about misrepresentation on the American press. In the actual matter of fact, the American press is giving a fairly good view of the whole situation because they have a color problem themselves.
Have you been to South Africa?
I wouldn't even pay a penny to go there.
Well, then, how can you talk?
Because I have the facts. People come in there, get every people no means of living. How can I go there? I want a house, I want a home, I want a position in society.
Well, look, they're getting it. They're getting exactly what they want.
Funny that they didn't have a black South African or colored South African there on the panel, and they will spill the real tea of what was going down. Somebody should ask about the Donpas. How about the Donpas where people can't even go out at certain times of the night because of the damn, they got a curfew. And they have to present like what their race is and all that kind of jazz. Oh, they forgot about that. Oh, damn fool. No one had the freedom of doing anything. You can't even date outside your race. They even made, even like within the colored community too, when we were all mixed race and stuff like that. And people were dating. It's so intertwined because you can't date outside your race. So you're dating your best friend's cousin, and then that cousin is related to somebody. Everyone's like somehow almost related, because you couldn't date outside the race, and there's pockets of communities, and you could only travel in between that. So what's the deal, baby? Anyway, it's your boy Prince Rara, and I hope you enjoyed that. It could have been a little bit lengthy, but it was kind of interesting. It was something different, so I wanted to give that a try. Something very chill, and yeah, that's what it is. It's your boy Prince Rara once again, and you are listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.